Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen Warman. I have been away. I've been super busy, so I apologize for that. I'll go ahead and get into the usual. First of all, you are listening to the podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at the blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com. I usually post that to my Twitter name every week, twitter.com/StephenTheWarman. I really hope that most people are on the more efficient way of getting this. That's through iTunes. And at iTunes, you simply enter Warman Kickfighting Show or enter Lord Gaul, which was my username back when I got into kickboxing and so on. So as I was saying in the beginning, I apologize for how busy I've been lately. We've had, you know, several people come through. I train fighters for a living and just really hadn't had the time to get away and break down a lot of the fights. In particular, I used to be so efficient about the stadium fights back when, you know, I'd say through September, October, November of last year, I was pretty busy with them. And lately, I just haven't had the time to get away and catch everything. I have a pretty decent show for you as far as breakdowns, stuff like that, events, fights that have happened since we've been gone, and so on. But really, I do want to start off by apologizing for that because I want to be the person that, you know, brings kickboxing out to people on a regular basis. And it kind of started with me just as a person who simply wanted to see high-level kickboxing kind of get its due. You know, like I first started doing this podcast show because once upon a time, they didn't have kickboxing podcast. And I remember saying, man, I would listen to it every week. I would listen to all these MMA podcasts and I had a boxing podcast that I listened to. And I was like, man, when is there going to be a, you know, Muay Thai or kickboxing podcast? And then I realized 5-6 years ago that there wasn't going to be one, so I should probably try to make one. And I the goal behind, you know, putting it together was just simply I wanted to continue to, you know, visit the topic of kickboxing and get it to people who really love the sport, just didn't have the opportunity to hear it on a regular basis. And then the next thing you know, started off as something I did, you know, every week. And back then we used to have mega upload and I would just, you know, upload it to online there. So people would have to download it and mega upload. Then the guy who ran mega upload got in trouble. So that no longer became an option. And simply it's strange, but it began there and then it just kind of turned into something else. Like it just kept growing. iTunes gave you the option to start putting your podcast up on iTunes and then I put it on there. So it just started to flow throughout and I was just super grateful that the opportunity to be a part of that and watch it grow. So it does mean something to me that I do this podcast and I get to you guys on a regular basis. But man, I've just been so busy and I apologize for those who would have, you know, like for me to get this out on a more regular basis. I usually try to, I've been doing a consistent job of being every week, but this past week, man, it just happened, it just turned into every 2 weeks. So I apologize for that once again. So gonna go ahead and jump into the cards as I, you know, I guess I'll just go down what was probably the most significant card since I've been gone, the Glory event that they had in San Diego. And the reason why I thought that, first of all, foremost, I want to say the Glory San Diego card, I thought they did a really good job of the presentation of it. Clearly, they kind of stopped going after the actrix and production that we're used to, you know, because I just been watching a lot of other videos of late and I've been really paying attention to old school K1 and just remembering that feel of the huge arenas and the lights and the way they presented it. And Glory hasn't been able to recapture that, nor do I think it's a goal so much. But what they have done is they have been trying to find little pockets here and there of where can we get a fan base to come out and support the athletes. And it looks like this, man, this San Diego card, it blew me away with how many people that they had got out for the event. And I was really pleased to say, okay, we've got a crowd to appreciate the athletes that we have out there performing. And when the when the start of the event came on and I saw the lights and I saw the production, I was like, okay, we might have a home here. And that's important because America has yet to produce that type of area. We've yet to produce the card that really, really makes us, that really shows that an American audience is interested in all the things that they're doing in kickboxing. So I was really pleased to see that they had a really, really good crowd and they supported the events and they really enjoyed the show because it was a good show. Once again, the Glory product kickboxing product, it did what it did. It really showed some entertaining fight opportunities. It just and the ratings supported it. It was one of their better ratings. And in particular, it started at 10 p.m. my time. I'm blown away that it would have even accomplished or got anywhere close to what it accomplished. And it had a really good rating, too. So good stuff from Gloria on that. And let's go ahead and jump into some of the fights. First and foremost, we'll go ahead and start with the title fight. I have no problem with this fight being a draw. When I watched it, in my personal opinion, I thought Simon Marcus won. I gave 1-2 to Artem Levin. I gave 4-5 clearly to Simon Marcus. And then I had the third round with the 10-8 round. I had that going to Simon Marcus. So my card I had at 48-46. But I could very easily see some of the rounds being close enough, close enough round, or maybe someone going, 9-9 on round number three. I could see that happening. So I can see some scorecards coming back a draw. Like, that doesn't shock me. In my personal opinion, I said it from jump, I really did feel that it was a close fight. It's more entertaining than I thought. I was definitely wrong about that. Like I said, that I thought that there was a really good chance there to be a lot of holds and so on or whatever, and there was, but it didn't disrupt the flow for me. I thought that it was definitely still really entertaining kickboxing. I think that of the weight classes, the one that's starting to become the most recognizable, I'd say, for those who are paying attention to, who are following up on the fight events on a regular basis, for those people who are really invested in seeing how the sport grows, this fight, this 87 kg weight class, or 187 pounds, I should say, I think it's about, those guys are doing the best job of giving you athletes that you see on a regular basis, so you're able to follow these guys. And Joe Schilling has a big part to do with that, because you always watch the Joe Schilling fights, and of course that's huge. But man, it's so awesome. Oh, got something playing in the background.
Our name is
advertisement popping up on my computer. Sorry about that, y'all. So back to what I was saying before, as far as breaking down the sport, I really thought that it was an entertaining fight. Despite, I thought the first two rounds, you would just see moments where the slickness of Artem Levin with the angles and the kicks and the movement that he puts into play, whereas I thought Simon Marcus was kind of marched forward, dictating the fight, looking to land big shots, looking to really get into exchanges and really push the pace. And it was his strength and his demeanor to exchange that really dictated what happened in this fight, because in the second half of it, Artem Levin wasn't able to get away as much, and that's where a lot of the holding came into. He just wasn't trying to get into big exchanges. So when Simon Marcus, bit down in the mouthpiece and really looked to throw heat, it seemed like it was to Artem Levin's benefit to grab on rather than exchange, because he's not that kind of fighter. Not since he fought, at 77 kgs has he been the bigger, stronger hitter in the weight class. Since he's moved up, he's had to use his craftiness. And I still think that close fight, I had Marcus winning, but man, it was a decently entertaining fight. It's usually a little weird when fights end in a draw, and the crowd they'll always go towards the guy who brings the fight, if you will. But I thought that it was a good showing by both guys. They'll probably do it again. Wouldn't mind seeing another four-man tournament with the best guys in the world. So you already got, these two. Maybe you enter Joe Schilling on one side and the Filipe Linden as well. Eight-man tournament, I could see them doing that again in one night. Just don't do it on pay-per-view. I thought that this was a decent fight. Raymond Daniels gets another spinning stoppage. This is probably, of his performances, the ones that's the most forgettable for me, because Justin Baseman wasn't a viable opponent. Like Raymond Daniels, when he, did it to Francis Ambank, Francis Ambank was a solid opponent, and he was able to style on him, get the hands going, and for the first down, and then, of course, the two-touch kick later. This one, Raymond kind of moved around, and Justin, it's like he'd never seen anybody have success against Raymond. Didn't try to walk him down, didn't try to get him into the corners, didn't try to, push the pace, as opposed to just kind of staying in range where you can get, styled on. And because of it, right off the jump, Raymond Daniels kind of got him backed up, did a spinning kick right away, Justin came back with his own type of jumping kick thing, and that kind of was like it was all downhill before anything else from that point. I don't know what game plan they worked, but you could see once he did his jumping move back that he was just frustrated and he wanted to try something. A spinning back kick a few moments later to the body ended it. I'm glad that Raymond Daniels got on TV. I'm glad that he won with something spinning, but he has beaten better opponents, and I'd like to see them bring him better opponents. There's some good options for him at 70 kgs. We don't necessarily need a Justin Baseman, who's kind of more of a filler, didn't really have a good kickboxing or boxing background, that would rival what we would expect from Gloria level fighters. So good win for Raymond Daniels, and good highlight for the fans, if you will. Heavyweight tournament, go ahead and break it down from the semis. Xavier Vinny gets a quick KO. It lasted 90 seconds, but really the fight was over with the moment he landed the first low kick against Maurice Jackson. Maurice Jackson, it said he was 31-0, and I watched kickboxing probably, I got to be one of the top two or three guys in the world as far as how much kickboxing that I watch. And when I didn't know who Maurice Jackson was, I was like, all right, you're 31-0. I'm not sure where you got that from. And Xavier Vinny, he came out, goes against a guy who Jackson, I guess most of his fights were like waist-high kickboxing, taekwondo tournaments, which could very much be what he did when he was in, high school and middle school or whatever, and Jackson just kind of put them all together. I'm not going to hate on him if he gets those. If he puts 31-0 together and then he goes out there and he puts on a performance that reflects a guy who's 31-0, more power to him. But once that first low kick scored, he looked like he was in trouble. He winced, and then the second came, and then after that, it was just all low kicks in, big punches until Maurice Jackson was done. Vinny moves on pretty much without resistance. Chylos Parry and Demario Dennis offered a different type of fight. Demario Dennis scored well right off the beginning, definitely scored big right hand that got Parry, in trouble, had him on strange legs, and then Parry, battled back. Demario Dennis, in the beginning, stayed outside of the range, was able to come in and score big or be in the clinch, whereas Chylos Parry, in the beginning of the fight, he was, playing Superman and distant things that he ran into. Superman's what kind of got him hit and got him in trouble in the first place. But then as the fight slowed down, he was able to score knees kind of on the break as they would kind of break out of clinches, and then his range was just Demario Dennis probably safe with most fighters, was still in Parry's range, and Parry was able to score, and then there was a series where Parry followed him. Demario blocked the first one, second shot by Parry, good stuff by him, followed and scored well, and once that scored, Parry was able to get the KO victory in round one. It was good because Parry, he keeps selling himself, keeps talking and so on. He was pretty respectful with Dennis throughout, but he had set it up in the press conference, everything for him to meet Vinny in the final. And it was the final that we wanted. It was pretty entertaining until Parry got tired. Parry came out, landed big hands. Vinny came out, landed, the low kicks. I thought that it was pretty entertaining until Parry's got tired. And once he got tired, he started to get hit. His chin's actually pretty good. He held up. And then it was finally a body shot that Vinny put on him that put the fight away. Vinny did a good victory. Vinny had a great victory in front of his hometown fans. Luis Parry, despite the loss, got up, called out Brandon Vera. I just love that it just kept flowing like that, So good stuff, entertaining stuff. And it's what you want to see on TV. Super Fight offered a 29-28 unanimous decision for Mike Lemaire over Casey Green. Again, Lemaire's a guy they're trying to get going. He's very talented in terms of his ability to do the techniques. He just ran into some guys that were really, really tough, Wayne Barrett. But he's got a victory over Justin Kobe, if I'm remembering correctly. And if they keep him active, he will, turn into a pretty good athlete and do all right down the road. Just got to have the activity. Also on the undercard, Gaga Chikadze, who, of course, was at Mike's gym for a very long time. Don't know where he is currently. He gets a victory over Ken Tron via KO in the third round. Very, very talented. Big step up for Ken Tron, who was supposed to be fighting someone else on this card. And then we've got Maurice Green getting a victory over Ashley Epps. I worked with Maurice Green back in the day. He came out and was a tall, training partner for one of my fighters, tall southpaw. Good uppercut there. Ashley Epps didn't really offer too much resistance, but I thought that he tried. I thought that, the only person where I look on this card where I was like, man, Maurice Jackson, you probably you could have given yourself a better a better opportunity to win. But I just thought that once that first low kick hit him, he was like, wow, that's what a real big low kick from a big heavyweight feels like. But Green got the big KO here with Ashley Epps on the undercard. Epps, I don't know if we're going to see him again in another opportunity, but there are enough heavyweights in MMA who are doing kickboxing to get this opportunity. Omar Boyd also defeats Chris Corotas via unanimous decision. So going to go ahead and wrap that card up and go to a couple of other kickboxing events that have happened over the past few weeks. I'll go ahead and start off with Kunlun, who did a big event last week. And I won't do the whole card, but I do love the fact that Kunlun is continuing to be active. Bukau got a victory recently in China, but it wasn't on this card. This card, of course, was more focused on, as far as names that you would know on an international basis on a regular, or an international basis, you would be more familiar with fighters like Enrico Kiel, who gets a decision victory, a extra round decision victory over Mohamed Deby. Deby of France, so I've talked about him before because he's a regular. I've seen him on a lot of French cards. I've seen him on a lot of international opportunities, but he usually comes up on the losing side. But this guy is a tough guy who's going to travel, who's going to train, he's going to give it his best effort. And Enrico Kiel is just better than him. And Enrico Kiel had more trouble than I thought, you know, with this going to an extra round, which showed that Mohamed Deby, it's what I was saying about Deby kind of having that ability to show up and bring a tough fight, despite who you are. He's a really, really good fighter. And he's got some quality wins here and there, you know. So I wouldn't have ruled him out all the way in this fight, but I definitely would have went for Enrico Kiel, who I felt was the better kickboxer, more established, got the slickness, got the power when he needs it. But Mohamed Deby was able to get to the extra round. It's in the extra round that Enrico Kiel was able to take the unanimous decision. Also on this fight card, Vladimir Konsky gets a victory over Yi Tugong. And Vladimir Konsky's fought in China many times. He's a Slovakian fighter who's, you know, he's been around the block. I mean, this guy, I remember first hearing about him. He's kind of got like a tall frame and definitely scores from a distance. And I first heard about him in the late 2006, 2007, 2008, like around that range. He started to pop up on the fight forums, and then I just kind of followed up on his name, and I'd be like, okay, he pops up on an I-1 card here and there. He's able to put together a pretty good career fighting internationally, and they brought in some ties and so on for him to fight in Slovakia because he's a big draw in Slovakia. This is a quality win for him. Nothing that, you know, is going to mean anything towards the bigger stage or the bigger picture of kickboxing. Vladimir Konsky's always been a guy who's just kind of done his thing right in the shadow of the biggest organizations in kickboxing, but still getting the opportunity to compete. So shout out to Vladimir Konsky. Artur Kashenko, of course, is the biggest name on this card, and he gets another victory over Dmitry Vilant. And this is a guy who's coming off the Jonathan Oliveira win, and he is really, I mean, between his trips over to China, he's been pretty consistent, and he's making a name for himself at 77 kgs. Just because he's not in the glory circuit anymore doesn't mean that he's not one of the best 77 kg fighters in the world, and he is continuing to prove it. And I hope that if they do a four-man tournament or something like that later in the year, that Kashenko gets his shot, because he really is a kickboxer that I want to see. And I remember he's gone through kind of like a few stages. When he first came out, I can't tell you how many strikes this guy threw. Very, very active with a low kick, had a, you know, tricky high kick. He had this really slick kind of sweep that he used to do all the time. And then we got to Mike's gym, sat on the power a little bit more, got more KOs at that period of time, was able to, you know, throw heat, stay in the pocket. Some people didn't like it. They thought that he, you know, abandoned his slick style of scoring, you know, combinations and kicks and staying an action fighter, as opposed to a guy who kind of sits on the big shot. And people weren't as big a fan of it when he went to Mike's gym. But then he started to really get some, you know, have some success and get some big wins. And he got his biggest win over Nicky Holtzkin while he was at Mike's gym. And I thought that he was doing a good job there. Now he seems like he is, I'm not even sure if he's in Holland anymore, he might be back in Ukraine, but he's still busy, still active, getting opportunities to fight. And one of the opportunities that he gets the most is on King of Kings and in Kunlun. And in Kunlun, it's in between those promotions, he's putting together quite the resume. I'd love to get him back in Glory again. I mean, they're doing enough cards to use him, especially if they do a Glory Russia, something in that area. I would love to see him on that card. So good stuff for him as he beats Dmitry Vilant. And Dmitry Vilant is another guy who, like Vladimir Konsky, they've just existed kind of in the shadow of kickboxing. Like, they just between kickboxing and Muay Thai. They fought in China. They fought, you know, in Eastern European countries. They've had these opportunities. I don't think Valence, he might have fought in Australia as well. I'm not 100% sure there. But he's got so many international opportunities, but never really a fight where everybody's like, you know, big stage, glory, K1, it's Showtime-esque. But he's still done a good job of being an active fighter. He's got some good wins. He's got a win over Shane Campbell in kickboxing. Dmitry Valence, a good fighter. But Artur Kashenko is one of the best fighters at 77 kgs in the world, and it reflected in this fight. So good stuff there. Going to go ahead, move on to another card. First of all, I want to recommend all you guys go over real quick and check out the Chad Too Slick Sugden, you know, write-up that they did in Liver Kick. I definitely would recommend that. I saw it posted on my Twitter wall earlier today, and this guy's got a really, really interesting style. Definitely check that out. And then also, I was staying up late the other night, and I saw that the Bada Hari documentary was out, so I said I'm going to sit down and go all the way through this. I cannot tell you how awesome this thing is. Now, in terms of the feel that you get from some of the documentaries where you kind of get, you follow a story, it doesn't kind of offer that kind of flow. What it offers that nothing else really has a really good breakdown offer of is it goes into his mind during some of these fights and how he felt, and he was honest about some things in certain ways. I don't want to ruin it for you by telling you the results of what he said, but his breakdown of what happened in a lot of these fights and what he was going on and what he said and what his thoughts were on it, it's the most honest I've ever heard Bada Hari. You for nothing else, you got to listen to these fights just so you can see how honest he is when he breaks these things down. He just says straight up, this is why I did this, and this is what I was saying. And I really thought that it kind of, it sucked me into the story when I saw it. So really good stuff there. And shout out to Will Prescott, also known as Stillwell, for putting it together. Big time shout out to Stillwell. That is a really great, you know, entertaining kickboxing documentary that he put together, and I hope a lot of people listen to it, watch it. It's entertaining. You got to. I'm telling you, it is super honest by Bada Hari. Great stuff by Will Prescott and Michael Schvello narrating, and Elder Gross was the guy who filmed it. If I'm remembering correctly, Elder Gross did the actual footage. He got the shots. He's in the face with the camera. Elder Gross, of course, who we know from the Ream documentaries and the King of the Ring for Tyrone Spong. And Fusion's got a card going down this weekend. It's got a four-man tournament, and it's a good four-man tournament. Mohamed Bin Nasser is going to take on William Diener, who William Diener's past what he used to be. You know, he's not the fighter that he used to be, the guy who used to give Dalu Drago so much fits, the guy who fought K1 a couple opportunities, despite the fact that he came up short against Yoshihiro Sato and Dwayne Ludwig, of all people. You know, just show how long Dwayne's been in the game. William Diener had international opportunities as well, had some upset victories, but he just wasn't able to stay in the mainstay of kickboxing for a very long time, as far as in the conversation of everybody. But as far as a guy who fought in his Showtime, a guy who brought the fight every single time, William Dieter was all action in his prime. He's a little bit older now, still a serviceable fighter, still going to bring you entertaining fights, but I got a slight lean towards Mohamed Bin Nasser to get the win here. And then Aziz Kala goes against Fatih Askin. Askin, I remember he really blew me away with one of my first times seeing him, and that was against Mousavim Rani back in the day. And it's going to be a little bit tougher for him against Aziz Kala, because Aziz Kala is pretty strong at 70 kgs and 71. If you've ever seen Aziz fight before, he does some things that are really entertaining, and he also does some things that are really powerful, because he'll get in clinch, he'll throw guys on the ground, expect clinches with his fights, but he will continue to throw, do dirty boxing tactics, do kickboxing, I mean dirty boxing in terms of hold and hit type tactics, because he's got a good kind of sneaky hook behind the head, high knee that he throws. He does good work rate. He does things with speed where he switches up his tempos, and he switches up his speed and distance. He'll be fighting at a distance, and then all of a sudden he'll rush in and go for a combination. Like he does really things that you got to be ready for. So definitely, I got Aziz Kala beating Fatih Askin, just too physical, too strong. And then Mohamed Bin Nasser versus Aziz Kala. That's going to be the tough one for a lot of people. I'm going to go Aziz Kala because I've been backing Aziz Kala since he was like 16, 17 years old. I've been following him for a long time. I remember him when he first was, I was filming the documentary and I went by his gym. And that's when I was told about him. That's when he came in. And then the guy who was really helping me out, Paul Afev, the guy who ran the FF videos back in the day, about 2011, 2012, 2010, we had a guy named Paul and his brother. They used to put together these videos in Holland called the AFAV videos, A-F-A-V, and all they would do is break down behind the scenes camps, all that kind of thing going down in Holland. And one of the opportunities that I had, this guy was driving me around Holland, helping me get the documentary done. And when I went to Lucien's gym, it really, really worked in my favor that they emerged as, you know, like I, after I finished the gym, Aziz Kala emerged into the gym later that night. And then Lucien's like, hey, this is one of my guys. And I took a picture with him and that kind of stuff and said, you know, I'll be watching your career. And then, of course, as my career got bigger and I started holding in, you know, working with different boxers and stuff like that, Aziz Kala sent me a message saying that he wanted to, you know, come to America and work with me. And I thought that that was really, really cool. So I got Aziz Kala winning. And a little bit biased there towards the end, my apologies, but definitely as far as skill set goes, I've been watching this kid for a really long time and I have predicted him to be one of the better fighters in the world at 70 kg. So I'm excited to see where this goes. A really solid fight. Typhoon Oskin, who's always all action as he gets going against Radion Lakubi. Expect an entertaining fight there to Typhoon Oskin. Last we saw him was against Muhammad Uriah, and that was an all-action fight. So definitely you want to see these athletes go to, you know, go at it. That should be a lot of fun. Rachel Adamus, as she takes on Sheena Wendershoven. Sheena Wendershoven has fought for Infusion several times. Definitely excited to see her compete. Now, I want to say in advance, there's a chance that Rachel Adamus or Sheena Wendershoven is out and that they have slid in. Not 100%, but they've slid in Sam Brown from Australia because she's been posting that she's going to be in this fight card all week, and I haven't seen who she's going to fight yet. So one of these girls could be out, she could be in. So definitely there's a chance Sam Brown could get the opportunity. And because I predicted it a long time ago, I'm pretty excited about that. Sam Brown brings it. So she's coming off a win over Infusion just last week. I wasn't able to watch those fights, that Ireland card. That's why I didn't give that breakdown. But she is being used again in 2 weeks, so I think it's a good opportunity for her, and I'm definitely curious to see how that fight works, you know, shakes out. And then we've got one more fight on that card I'll talk about, and that's Ilias Belal as he takes on Maxim Furtikov. Ilias Belal, this is his first fight for Belal since the competitive loss to Masaki Nori, who I still, you know, have as the best fighter in the world at 65 kgs. I think he's very, very talented. Again, another person I've been following for a really, really long time. And Belal is a guy who I've been following because I've got to watch his career through Infusion. I'm excited about those guys getting together. I'm excited about them competing. And once they had their fight, Ilias came up short, but he fought really hard. And he took some injuries from that fight, which shows the level of difficulty the fight was. And the next thing you know, here we are with him getting his first opportunity to fight since that date. And I'm happy that he's going to possibly get back on a fighting every other month type of schedule because he really is talented. And if we can get him competing once a month internationally, it's a win for everybody. Next thing I want to talk about, we won't talk about the whole thing, but of course, Super Combat's doing their thing. They've got a card that they're putting together. It's got a lot of names that you may have heard of, you may not have heard of, but I just wanted to bring up the card just because the fights are going to pop up online somewhere, and I want you guys to definitely be on the lookout for what is it? It's in Bucharest, if I'm remembering correctly. There we go. Yep, I got it up now. Super Combat in Bucharest. It's going to be a pretty solid card. Amancio Pereshiv, that's a guy they've used before. Christian Millier, they've used him before. Christian Mestia, and of course, Bogdan Andrastoika. Those guys will be fighting. So definitely, you want to get over and get a chance to look at that card. It should be entertaining because those guys are, you know, even if they're like kind of passing by fights or fights where you just get activity for some of the better fighters, they're not necessarily the highest level of opposition. Some stars emerge from this. And once upon a time, the guy who's going to be fighting for the title, Benjamin Adebuyi, he started off as one of these names that you weren't that familiar with on the Super Combat card. And then the next thing you know, kept winning, kept getting consistent, gave him a step-up fight. He ended up losing. Kept moving him again, gave him more step-up fights. He ended up winning those fights, and then he's now fighting for the Glory Championship. So don't disregard the undercard for these events, because they really do have some hidden gems. They've got some talent that you're going to see for, you know, a time to come. So I want to thank everybody for following the show. And again, I'm going to have to sit down and really focus on a lot of the fights and stuff that I've missed, in particular in the Thai stadiums. I just haven't had the time. Right now, I'm feeling a little under the weather, a little sick. That comes with training fighters. You got to be careful, because you have the opportunity to get sick more than most people, because so many more people come by your gym and you work with them and so on, whatever. So I'm going to have some down days. In these down days, I'll catch up with some fights. There have been some really good stoppages in the stadiums, and I haven't been best in my best there. So I want to thank you guys all for bearing with me through that. But I wanted to finish the show on the note of the retirement of Mike Zambides. And I can't stress you guys enough how awesome Mike Zambides was. I mean, this guy was the first true big little guy in the world. And at the time when YouTube was coming, you know, starting to really develop, when I first got into the fight sport, YouTube was out there, but it wasn't as used by many people. In fact, if you didn't use like a mega upload or a sense-based file, you were actually looked down upon when I first got into the sport. So it's so weird how that's changed. Now everything's YouTube and those uploading sites are pretty much nothing. But like in the beginning, people wanted something that they could put in their computer. So when Mike Zambides emerged, it was like a guy who started fighting when he was, I want to say his first fight when he was 15 years old, and went against a guy who was 32. And then after he got that win, it kind of got it started. He's probably, I mean, if he is in the weight class, I want to say he's what, 160s? I'm trying to do the variation. He'd be 5'5 and, you know, 5 feet, 5 inches for those who are in like America. But for the rest of the world, I want to say he's 1.67. And then I think 70 kgs, of course, he probably closer to, you know, I've seen him as big as, you know, 158 for fights, you know. But for the most part, he was a little guy who fought bigger people. That's just who he was. And he had the style in kickboxing. Like there is no one who had that combination kick style that I've ever seen like Enrico Kiel. And the idea that he would come out and compete and go against high-level guys and continue to fight with his all-action combination style throughout the years, and the fact that it's held up even now, because this guy was in the second K1, yes, World K1 Max, and that's when he first fought Masato. And in that fight, Masato got a down on him, but in my personal opinion, Mike Zambides got up from the down and won the next two rounds, and they should have had an extra. No question about it, they should have had an extra. And he struggled to get out of that first round, but despite that, he kept getting opportunities. All-action fights with, you know, Bukau, all-action fights with Masato, as I mentioned before. And then, of course, his legacy will live forever because of the fight with him and Shahid El-Haj. Like, that fight is just, that is kickboxing at its best. So we will always know who he is. And when I heard that there was a retirement fight, you know, it was kind of disappointing, you know, because I was like, man, he still has opportunities. And I have even heard that it's already emerged that there's a chance that somebody talked him out of it, and he's going to be fighting again soon. He'd been doing 5 rounders, you know, down the road. But heard there's a chance that he could be fighting Steve Moxon. And then I saw that Steve Moxon is going to be fighting Robin van Roosmalen and a black tie event in New York, I want to say. So I think that you know, ends the Steve Moxon thing. And I think Iron Challenge is the name of the promotion that's been giving him these opportunities. So I am just pleased that if it is the end, and they hyped it up like it's the end, but you never know. Of course, we've got Peter Arts. I do want to take the time out to say, man, this guy really had a great career. And despite the fact that down the road, you know, he's got some losses to, you know, Batu Kazakov, who probably won that fight. You know, it was a split decision loss, but he probably won that fight. The Zhu Yan fight, he definitely lost that one. Mirtha Grenart lost that one. He had the opportunity when they had the K1 Max in his hometown where he beat Reese McAllister. Close, could have lost that fight, whatever. But this is all at the end of his career. This is all when he's like in his 30s. And what a run he had, you know, fighting Mirza. He has a Hall of Fame record, and I'm really excited about doing a life of compilation. I'm going to do a highlight on him. Actually, just finished a highlight on Kaylee Reese that I had, you know, was going to debut this week, but I'm going to do an interview with Kaylee Reese next week. So shout out to those who follow women's kickboxing and Muay Thai. I got a, you know, Kaylee Reese video coming out, and we'll talk to her about her career and so on. Hopefully on the next show, we've got it all set up. But like, I'm just looking. Jabir Askarov, Warren Stevens, Shahid El Hash, as I mentioned before, Yoshihiro Nagashima, lost Georgia Petrosian, but I thought he actually beat Georgia Petrosian that night. I thought that he threw the most significant shots, and I thought Georgia Petrosian scored clean at him, but I thought that he stood in the pocket, and he really landed some good offense. Of course, he's got the big victory over Al Kraus. Hall of Fame career, really did. Daniel Dawson, we're not even, Jianwei Paul, we're not even talking about, I've just been naming his K-1 fights. I didn't even get into the fact that he fought in 10 and 12 rounders in kickboxing. They just didn't have the clinch, but it's pretty much like boxing, but it's just combinations and kicks, and that's what they dealt with for 10 rounds. And he came from that, and from that background, moved into the K-1 Max. So, like, he was considered the best kickbox in the world, and one of the last guys to be doing those 10-round fights. Like, he's, I mean, that era, like, most people can't even fathom that once upon a time people used to fight that long because we're only used to 3 and 5 rounders. And the reason why we're used to that is because of TV. Max is the reason why they could only get so many fights in such a time slot, and it's important to them for them to keep the cards rolling, to keep having, you know, high-level opportunities for other guys to get on TV. So you had to do your work in 3 rounds. But despite all this, man, I can't stress you enough. He had an awesome, awesome career. I mean, there are losses here and there. You lost to Yunus El Moussani, for those who have heard me talk about him on the show before. But I think that he is the very definition of having a Hall of Fame career. He fought every elite that I could possibly think of off the top of my head. Had a great career. Had awesome KOs. Has awesome KO highlights. You just got to follow this guy's career. You enter Mike Zambides into your YouTube search engine, and you're just going to be happy with whatever fight you find. Win, lose, or draw, he brings it. So, shout out to Mike Zambides. If this is the end, you are one of the greats of my lifetime. Thank you to all the listeners, and I will do my best to try to get up on my stadium fights and get back into my kickboxing flow, try to give you guys full results next week, and then, of course, get my interview with Kaylee Reese. And I've got a couple other interviews that I'm trying to set up for you. So, peace, everyone, and have a good one. Peace.